Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 1 year playing a number of both new and old games, and then we talk about them. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And welcome to our Christmas extravaganza. Isn't that what we decided to call it, guys?
It sounds good to me. Yeah. I don't know if we talked about it.
Well, no, I think we all agreed. Christmas extravaganza. No one's ever done it before, so.
No, that's very original. I'm good.
We're not going to talk about a single retro game today. and I mean that in, like, not a single. You understand what I'm saying?
Like, is there more than one?
Yeah. Well, we're not talking about one.
We're going to talk about all of them?
We're going to talk about every single one of them. In fact, we're not. We're also not going to talk about retro games really today. Instead, we're going to take a long look at this past year and just blather and buzz about video game related content.
It's still
from
retro.
The year 2016.
It's just a retrospective on 2016.
Yeah, so retro, when we typically talk about retro, Kenny, we're talking about 15 years or older,
because that's how we do
older.
It.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I'm just justifying it.
But for this last year, if we're saying a retrospective look of 2016, but first, you know we got to do it. A relatively random question that has absolutely nothing to do with video games or our podcast. Kenny, Nolan, what is your favorite Christmas song and why? So are you like a recent reveler? So All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey, or Baby It's Cold Outside? Or are you a classic kind of guy, a retro kind of guy, if you would? Silent Night, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Real quick while we're on the topic, and I know we're fully tangential here, but I have to ask you guys' opinions. Have you guys felt like that Baby It's Cold Outside song has gotten way overplayed this year?
This year?
No, yeah. Not in particular. I mean, I hear it every year, but not in excess.
Maybe it's just the radio stations like around my hometown and the people I'm with or something, but that song will not stop, and it's really frustrating to me.
I like that one, but I also want to point out that All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey is now 20 years old.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're
so
talking
we're allowed
about
to talk about it,
if we're yeah, talking about Silent Night and All I Want for Christmas, like
all right,
there's
you got a
difference.
A point. You got a point.
There's a difference there. So that being said,
mine's the Christmas song by Nat King Cole, by far.
What is that again? Sing a little
Chestnuts
bit?
Roasting.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's like the Christmas song, like you know the one that is a cliche almost.
It's definitely up there for me. That's always been one of my favorites.
Love it. It's a classic, and it makes me feel like Christmas no matter what.
For me, it's probably O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Really? That's a super off-the-wall answer, Kenny. I like
it. It's a great song. I like lots of the really old, really classic-y stuff, though. Like, if I didn't say that, I'd have said, like,
Drummer
Boy.
I don't
know, The Holly and the Ivy, or, like, yeah, something really obscure.
Mine is O Holy Night.
Good song.
So good.
Good song.
I'm with you, Kenny. I like the classics. I like I like the meaning, the words. It causes me to get excited for many different reasons. But Oh Holy Night's just a good classic song. Beautiful. Well, that was completely unrelated. There is no segue. This is the Christmas cast, and
I didn't get a segue.
No, I mean
it's Christmas. The one thing you could have gotten me for Christmas was a really good segue.
No, I'm getting you something else instead. We actually have decided this is not podcasting news. I mean, it is, but it's not anything that any of you would care about. Or it is, actually, because you're listening to this podcast. So the opposite of everything that I just said, Nolan and I are getting Kenny a microphone for Christmas so that he will actually have good audio quality.
And there's a unanimous yay! Because Kenny
everybody.
Has the worst audio.
It's not that bad. It is bearable,
no, it is.
But
hey,
it
look, you've never
definitely
used
use some
have,
improvement.
You used hold to on, have hold on. The best quality. I went back and listened to our old Christmas cast, and my mic was laughable. It was so bad.
That just means you guys have gotten really nice stuff since then.
Kenny, tell me two or three. Tell me one way that you know that your microphone quality isn't bad. Like, which one of the episodes
yeah,
that you've
yeah.
listened to recently?
Which one was it?
Okay, so I know my mic quality's not bad because I literally see Audacity recording it.
That's all you
do. And I know how music recording software works.
Oh, man. Kenny, so bad.
Will you listen to an episode this year?
Maybe.
That's his New Year's resolution.
Is to consider the possibility of actually listening to one of these things once it's mixed down.
You don't believe in us.
No, it's just pointless. I'm literally here talking with you guys.
That's
I know the content. Yeah.
No, you're old enough and wise enough to know that there is benefit in listening to the stuff that you produce you produce it.
I am old enough to also occasionally get off my lawn.
Well, listen, if you're completely new to the New Game Plus podcast, one, we welcome you. Two, we don't just get together and talk about unrelated random things. As we said earlier, we typically get together and talk about an old video game that we spent a week playing, and then we talk about our collective experiences with said game. But for this special episode, we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to do a few things. One, we're going to talk about some of the games that were released in 2016. So for us, although we're doing it in retrospect, Kenny, these are not retro games. These are more recent modern games that we may or may not have had much relationship with this year. And then after we do that, we're going to address some of the general video game news and happenings from 2016. So kind of just a reminder up front, we're not professionals and we're definitely out of our league here, especially when it comes to modern games. Because the reality is this year, we've probably, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I would assume that we've played a lot less new games than maybe even in previous years, because the majority of the week we're playing these retro games with you guys.
Yeah.
So we don't have tons of time to play new AAA titles or whatever the case might be.
Right.
So we're going to get facts wrong. We're going to get dates wrong. We might even say things that you completely disagree with, like Call of Duty should not have been made this year and they should stop making it altogether. And you might have a completely differing opinion on that. You might think that they should go all the way up to 32 in Call of Duty and do it on an annual basis. Either way, there'll be some things we agree on, some things we disagree on, but it's a Christmas season, so grab your hot chocolate, sit by the fire, and let's have some fun.
Well, and here's the great thing about our show. If folks do disagree, they're always welcome to hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, at our email at ngppodcast@gmail.com, and let us know what they think.
With hate mail.
I thought you were going to say, so if you do disagree, then there's plenty of other podcasts for you to go listen to.
Then you're wrong, and you need to go find another place to entertain yourself.
So guys, one of you start us off. What is a game that came out in the year 2016 that you would like to talk about? That was good, that was terrible, that was breaking news, whatever the case might be.
It's impossible to not look at 2016 and video games and not talk about Pokemon Go.
What? What is it?
Can you spell it?
Pokemon Yellow Gold?
Dorks. All right, look. So the Pokemon Go craze was that was a really, really big deal, even in the not nerd community. Like,
right,
no, every single person,
everyone
that
was
game.
Talking about it.
Yeah, but
everybody,
are they still playing it? That's what I want to know.
Right, and the answer is mostly no. And
no.
We could talk about some of those things, but first, did each of us play it? I think we did, right?
Well, I see Kenny raising his eyebrows. Do you still play it, Kenny?
No.
Okay.
I think about it occasionally.
Listen, okay. I'll say this. I played it pretty hard, but
I think Kenny might have
played it harder. Because while I was sitting at his computer editing while he was on his honeymoon, I saw a folder or two or something, I don't even remember what it was, or a favorite in his browser that was like, he had some like legit Pokemon Go like strategy going on and location searching.
I looked up like how to min-max your characters and how to get like the best IVs and I'd looked at all the guides. I didn't like hit any of those marks. That takes a huge investment.
Yeah,
right.
But there was a period of time where I was like playing pretty consistently. I'm way behind now, and like it's impossible to ever think that you could catch up. But
and Nolan, you played too, right?
Yeah, I played, but and I'm the biggest Pokemon fan out of all of us. I played the least. I know I did. Not to say that I thought it was a bad game. I don't know. It was done well. And it's what a lot of people have always wanted. It's just mobile platforms I've always had an issue with, and I can't really explain why. The game lends itself definitely to living in like a high population city. Like, you definitely benefit more, because before we moved, our city was much smaller and I was not having fun because I couldn't find anything.
So here's my thing. I think they started out super strong. Like, they came out of the gate on fire, right? Like,
almost weirdly so. Like, the amount of hype.
Right.
How do you even explain when that happens? Because that's not like something they've done. That's like weird cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah. It hadn't been done before.
No.
Not to that degree. And it took the world by storm, not just the gaming world, like the world by storm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what happened. Like, I think that they came out with, they had an awesome idea, even a quality content, but that they didn't follow it up with the support that it needed with the audience that it had. And it's probably because in part they were undershooting what was going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you can't plan for that. But it came out to, like, when they would release it, they had to like spot release it in various parts of the world, and that would still crash their servers that they did have.
Yeah.
And then with that, with the many tech issues, the glitches, like, I just think that it wasn't supported the way that it needed to be. And so with all of those issues, it didn't sustain itself with, and so like within a first month, there was a drop off. The next month, another drop off. And now that we're playing, now a year into it, it hasn't even been a year, but now 6 months into it, whatever the case might be, I think that a small fraction of the people that originally played it now still play it.
And that's the case with a lot of mobile games, I think. That's just why I never really get into them. But it was even bigger deal because this was Nintendo's first, like, all right, we'll go to mobile. Because for a while there, they didn't move to mobile. They like refused to. They didn't want to. But now, recently, we have Super Mario Run, which I have not played yet, but that's obviously a Mario title on mobile now. So, like, what do you guys think of that move?
I knew it was a big title, but I didn't even know it was actually a mobile game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just released, like, we're talking about this week.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's like just out.
I'm excited about it. I've seen some negative things, though, like some things that I'm nervous about. Like, I've seen, and I don't have the data to follow up with it or the literature to prove. But from what I gather, you've got to be connected online at all times.
Yeah, so, it's like always connected to Wi-Fi.
That's annoying.
So that's annoying. Secondly, I think it only released on iOS. I don't think it's on Android yet.
Oh, that's really annoying. What?
Really annoying. Yeah. There's those couple of issues. There are a few other underlying reasons why it caused me to like be skeptical towards it. But then I saw a friend. The first three stages are free or something like that, and I saw a coworker playing it, and like it's just the noise, the same music, the same just animation, even a little bit better. And like, the idea is cool. I mean, it's not a Pokemon Go. It's not going to take the world by storm. It's not going to crash servers. But yeah. I do think it's going to be just another enjoyable game, like Fallout Shelter, was for those fans.
Yeah.
I guess we can just go from there. If we're starting as strong as Pokemon Go, let's go to the other one that I feel like really just took the gaming community by storm, and that's Overwatch.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to talk about Overwatch.
It was a big title.
Overwatch
still a big
is one
title.
That we all three played.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny? What happened?
Y'all
Kenny
quit telling me you were
wagon.
Playing, and you got what? Better than me, and secretly didn't want to play with
Oops.
Me anymore.
Sorry.
And then you just let me fall into a Civilization 6 hole.
Well, Kenny,
it was not
we're
all
now
my
even
fault.
With the whole StarCraft debacle, so if you want to play, I'll play with you. But I won't play ranked with you, so.
Oh, no, I would never expect to throw your ranking.
But I will hop in regular games with you and be Bastion all the time. Just yeah. Bastion.
Works for
Overwatch,
me.
Okay, let's talk about why it was a big deal. So it's Blizzard. It's Blizzard,
right, because it's a Blizzard title. Like, Blizzard decided to do something new and different, and then they just knocked it out of the park.
But they didn't. It's an FPS game. But they
still...
Well, I know it's got its characteristics, but, like, they didn't... they didn't, like, create some new genre. I mean, Pokemon Go is totally different, totally new.
But kind of.
No, I'm saying it's still successful, But it's an FPS game.
It's as much successful because of the novelty of how the game is played and what you have to do in terms of working as a team and team composition and objective-based stuff being primary as it is successful because Blizzard made a first-person shooter. Like, there's lots of good first-person shooters. This one was novel and done so stunningly well.
I agree. Dustin and I did a episode about this, actually. And we stated,
it's a secret episode, so we're not going to talk about it.
Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, it's fine. I'm just I mean, it is a secret episode, but
we talked about our opinions and why it was good there. But just to repeat that, it's what you said, Kenny. It's because they made a game that was team centered somehow. Yes, you have your trolls still, and yes, you have some bad people that don't want to cooperate and play to the strength of the team, and they think you can carry. I call that the Call of Duty mindset. You can't carry in that game. It's completely team comp slash team skill based.
They took a lot of influence from the popularity of MOBAs and what makes them tick, I think, and tried to sort of fuse them. They went a little heavier even into the shooter side than I was hoping they would, but ended up with still such a wonderful game.
I'm not a first person shooter. Like, I do not enjoy, you know, any of those games, the majority of those games, but this one was just different. They did it in such a way that appealed to first person shooters but also appealed to action, you know, gamers or RPG.
It's so true.
Like, they appealed to so many different people, and just the community is different. League of Legends is the, you know, one of the only other kind of battle arena games that I played, and while it was fun and while it's a great game in its own right, the community was just toxic.
Part of that's and how you interact though, and what you're able to do, and a number, like, some of that's games mechanics.
Here's the thing, and I would rage too. I wouldn't necessarily rage at everybody else. I would just rage in my own room so that nobody else could hear me or see me. But here's the thing that would make me most mad in League of Legends. I would spend an hour playing a game, and then I would lose because of a stupid teammate.
Because of one person's, you know, mistake. Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
And it was never my fault. It's just everybody else's fault.
Of course.
But
you did
in
play the game after all.
In Overwatch, even if you get with a terrible person, you know, that even is toxic, then it sucks, but you only have to be with them for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then I can move on to the next game.
Right.
Do you guys remember when we first started playing, how I refused to play with mouse and keyboard?
You played with controller?
I played with a controller.
You play with us?
I've only ever really done first-person shooters on consoles. And so when I picked up a new first-person shooter, I thought, I'm going to feel most comfortable playing this with a console controller. And so I got out the Xbox-style controller, whatever I have, and thought I was going to be awesome at this game. And then was really, really bad at it.
You're
although,
a PC
I've got to say, it wasn't as bad. It wasn't as bad as when the reverse happened, as when we spent some time playing Rocket League.
Yeah, that's what I was
and I
say.
Tried to play that with mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, the worst. You've got it backwards. You're a PC guy. You should know these things.
I fixed both of those things, but...
Remember, he's slightly slow. He's a little old. He yells at kids to get off his lawn like
that's
he's
get off my
kind
lawn.
Of character and creature. Before we move on from Overwatch, what's your favorite character? Who is the one that we also did this in the secret episode too, but not most of you are probably not going to ever be able to hear that one. Who stands out to you? Kenny, I don't want you to look at a list. I want you to go from your memory, from when you played it a year ago, when the game came out. Who stood out to you and who did you enjoy the most?
Easy. Torbjorn.
Yeah, you are Torbjorn in real
he
life.
He would.
Of course I would.
Like,
he's a great
like
character.
Him.
So much fun.
Yeah, he's very, very rarely viable, but... Nolan?
I think mine's still Genji. I love McCree, but I've played Genji the most, and if I can play him, I like to play him.
Yeah.
Dustin's is a shocker. It's definitely
I've tried
Lucio.
Playing her just recently. I mean, Mercy. I've there's just... I don't know. I've had a crush on the girl since when we first met, and she's... Listen, I don't have a steady hand, and when I get in battle, my heart starts racing and my hand starts shaking, so I can't be a sniper or even like an attacker because I really can't focus on someone's head. But as Mercy, as a healer, I don't have to have a direct focus, and I can just look in the general direction of someone and then be able to provide valuable support to my teammates.
Hides behind me, lets me do the shooting.
That's enough Overwatch. It wasn't the only game. What's another game that came out in 2016?
Okay, so we've talked about some high points. There's a lot of controversy around this next topic, but a game came out this year called No Man's Sky.
Oh my goodness, I knew we'd end up talking about this.
Do one of you guys want to kind of explain what happened with that?
I mean, I can just a little bit. I don't think that any of us played it, so we didn't fall into the trap, right?
I did not play it.
Can we, in case people missed it, and I think most of our people know because they're gamers and probably followed, but if you didn't, can I just sort of teach you how this game went down, like, in an analogy?
Go for it.
You know how there's, like, a movie coming out, and then they put out trailers for it, but then...
Looks
the,
so good.
And it looks great, and so people start getting interested, but then movies are hard to make, and so the budget like moves it back like a summer and a half, and so people get even more excited for it and feel like they've been waiting forever. And then they watch the trailer, and the trailer is super crazy, amazing hype, and they're expecting this next like big, amazing, awesome spectacle that like Michael Bay totally got with who's the guy that directed Aliens and all that stuff.
Bruce.
No, you know
Jenner.
What I'm talking about.
Bruce Jenner.
Okay. Anyways, it's a big, huge movie title, and everybody shows up to it, and then it's actually like secretly a documentary about how people will just spend money on things without them actually being any good.
What an analogy.
It was a great analogy. So this game was way overhyped and then didn't deliver at all, and everyone was mad.
Yeah, like basically a lot of people pre-ordered it, spent a lot of money on it.
The company promised so much.
Yeah, I think it's a $60 game. Like, it's a full-priced game. Mm-hmm. Concept amazing. Yeah, previews amazing, looked great.
But we're just not there yet. Like,
yeah, it's
like,
yeah, one
we
day.
We can't do all the stuff they promised yet. Like, great idea with the procedurally generated planets. Like, mm-hmm.
Such a cool concept.
18 quintillion planets. That's not an over-exaggeration.
Yeah,
that's what they offered. Yeah. And that no one person would ever cross another person. And that once you found a planet and find these alien species there, that you named them and these things. But then what these players ended up finding out is that they did come in contact with one another, or at least at the same location. They couldn't see one another.
Right, but there wasn't actually multiplayer, though there was supposed to be.
Right. And then it wasn't saved. Mm-hmm. Their stuff wasn't saved or was lost. It's just thing after
thing. The game ended
terribly.
Like, biggest letdown. It was all this like massive race like to this big center point or something. And when you got there, it was supposed to be this crazy amazing thing. And then it was just like nothing. It was just... And then everyone was so mad that just the hype about the hype of how bad it was its own news. And No Man's Sky was just... kind of a fiasco.
Sad. It was sad.
Like, there were lawsuits and stuff, weren't there?
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But we should just... I hope people learned a lesson from this.
And move on, like we are now. So, Nolan, I think this is more of a you and me thing. Kenny, I don't think that you played the first one. I doubt that you'll play the second one. But, Nolan, you and I both played Dishonored, the original... Dishonored, correct?
Yeah, great.
And
great
game. Dishonored 2 came out this year, and just an anticipated game for me. My wife and I, we played the first one together, and it's just a really creative game, simple game where it just gives you kind of, it sets up this setting, the scenario, gives you a character, and then says, hey, you can either play this game and do these missions stealthily. And then it gives you all the resources to do that, or you can just play it like brutally, and you can go in there and use the resources that you have to just massacre all of these enemies that are placed in front of you. And it benefits you both ways, but also the story splits and has an arc both directions, so that it affects what's happening in the story and then what happens.
You played it through
at the end. Yeah, we played Dishonored.
Did you play it twice?
The first one.
What?
Because it splits. Because there's two stories.
No, no, no.
I feel like you're a completionist.
Oh, well, no, I
see what you're saying. No, I did the stealth one where I did the pacifist one, because that one is, to me, that's the most challenging and the most fun out of the game that you can get.
And that's kind of what it lends itself to. I mean, You can do either, but like the pacifist like kind of moral route is to do it without killing much at all, and without right. like just
awesome.
Really following a few certain things throughout the but Dishonored 2 came out, where your character from, I believe your main character is a character from the first one, and it's a continuation of the story in the world that they created, which is just an interesting world altogether.
Yeah, very interesting.
And I think they took and expanded on the concepts from the original game and just made it even better. I believe that it had relatively good reviews when it came out, so I am going to play that at some time. Super excited about that. Might even, if it's available, pick it up in the winter Steam sale.
Yeah, I heard really, really good things as well. It's actually on my list of like games possibly worth picking up.
Yeah. You would like Dishonored.
I did not think about it being in the winter sale. I might have to get that if it's a good enough deal. I was promising myself to stay away this year because we have done Christmas and that's money. But right. Man, that was a good game.
Yeah, it was.
Any other big titles you guys have seen come out this year or played personally that you're excited about?
I think there's one we should mention, and I think we have on our podcast because we played the original one a couple weeks ago. Doom got rebooted, remastered, whatever you want to call it. Remade. It's a new game.
Yeah, completely sort of re-everything.
Yeah, graphics overhaul, mechanics overhaul, obviously. So Doom is a very classic PC game, and we got the chance to enjoy that as a group on our podcast, and I loved it. I thought it was still so fun, still so classic, and I don't know how I feel about these companies bringing back the games that were just so classic and just kind of, I don't know, reskinning it and selling it again.
To me, as long as they feel different enough that they're like new and unique, I don't mind it. Like, I don't mind.
Yeah, from what I gathered, this one was a different game altogether. Like,
yeah.
We played the original Doom. Like, you couldn't remake that today.
Right.
It's so retro and foreign to gamers today. So I think if it can bring this era of gaming that is in the past and what many would say, you know, archaic and even dead, and bring it to a new audience in a refreshing and new way with updated graphics, updated music, same kind of concept and feel and story, then and they do it in a good way, I'm all for it, 100%.
Yeah. I've always been weird about that, even with movies, and that's a whole different thing altogether, but I don't know. I would play it for sure. It's just $60. And again, that's a really high point for me. So I usually wait on sales or whatever.
It's definitely tough when there's lots of games that come out at that price point, feeling like you have to pick and choose. Yeah. And not only the investment of money, but the investment of time. Games that come out anymore.
Yes.
You're
yes.
not like putting in a weekend or a week and a half and right. figuring it out. Like, if you want to actually get the full experience of a game, you are putting in lots of time with a lot of these titles. And so it really sort of limits what you can play.
I would tell every college student that likes video games to play every video game while you're in college. Like, play all the games that you want, because you won't have time like you used to play them.
Because you're in college, you're going to have student loans, and you'll never be able to afford $60 titles.
Exactly.
It's just a downhill spiral there, guys.
So do it right now.
Let's talk about one more game before we move on to talk about some of the news of 2016, because you know I'm not going to let us go through this whole discussion and not bring up Final Fantasy 15.
Okay.
Like, we don't have to talk about it in depth. None of us have played it yet. Because we can't invest in a $60 game like that, and then two, because just as we were talking about, we don't have 3 months to sit down and play a video game. And
Brand new Final Fantasy world. That's no, like, that's
not a joke.
Listen,
not an easy
though,
undertaking
by
any means.
They go deep on that game, and there's a lot of content. Just the little bit of that gameplay that I've gotten to see, sitting down watching a friend play, like, through the tutorial that, like, teaches you how to do the battle stuff and all of those sequences, just that was blowing my mind so much that I feel like I'm gonna have to find a way to play through that game at some point. It looks pretty sick.
Let me be honest with you guys. I wouldn't say this in public, but I'm just sitting here with you two, so I feel like
let's hear it.
The concept of this game, the dudes, you know, going on this trip looks really stupid to me. however, looks really stupid to me. Embarrassingly stupid to me. Even the dialogue that I've seen and some of the like characterization, I'm like, they really do look like they're in a boy band from the 90s and feel like it and talk like it. However, I so desperately want to play this game because along with Kenny, the images that I've seen, the footage that I've seen, even the live segments that I've seen and being able to sit down and watch some of that, it's just as quality as the other Final Fantasy games. And I am always down for an in-depth, robust fantasy story. And yeah. Final Fantasy just gets that right.
Yeah.
And so I love Final Fantasy. I love all the Final Fantasies. And so when you, viewer, are done playing your copy, send it along to me along with your PS4, and that'll be the best Christmas present that I'll get this year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Final Fantasy is a franchise you can trust. Like, there have been several that kind of look stupid. Like, Final Fantasy VIII, to me, I've never played it, but...
8 was a great game.
It looks... What?
8 was a great game.
Oh, I didn't know you played it, Kenny. I've heard terrible things about it.
I watched through it lots of times. I didn't play it myself, but okay. I'm familiar with it.
But you can trust them to deliver, like, an amazing story, huge map, a lot of content. So talking about the story looking dumb, I think the actual concept of the world they've created is interesting because it's like modern, like they're in a BMW-esque vehicle driving around. And I know that Final Fantasy's kind of been all over the place. They've done prehistoric stuff. They've done really futuristic stuff and then super fantasy stuff. But I like the whole like modern day age that it takes place in.
Let's move on to just address a few of the news related items from 2016. Some of the kind of like broad stroke general concepts and things that have been going on in the gaming world. And I guess let's just start with VR. Like, I know virtual reality has been a thing in prior years, but I really feel like
it's
this has kind
up,
of been
though,
the
this
year.
Yeah.
Like, this has been the year. I still don't know if I would say that VR has taken off, that it's blown
no,
up.
No, it hasn't,
yet,
but it's...
But
it's got
but
its
if it's
feet
going
under
to
it.
Happen, if it's going to happen, I think they'll reference 2016 as the year that kind
absolutely.
Of began. And with this year, I think it was Oculus Rift, it was the PlayStation VR, and the HTC Vive that all came out in the virtual reality world. And so that's a whole nother realm of gaming. I want to know this, rather than talking about each of those individual platforms, do you guys? I want you to think about it now and then address it. Do you think that virtual reality will finally take off and be a successful type and console of video games?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I absolutely do.
Yes, I do. But I don't want it to. I don't. It's
kind
not
of
interesting
a hipster.
To me. No. You agree with me, Kenny.
That we don't want it to take off? I'd love for it to take
right.
off.
No, it's not it's not cool. Like, I'm not interested in playing a VR game. I'm just not. And it's expensive and gimmicky. I want a controller. I want keyboard and mouse.
I'll say this. I addressed it in an earlier podcast. I did not think VR was going to take off. I was hesitant towards it. Just various reasons. I didn't think, like, there will always be a place for holding a controller and playing, you know, in front of you. There will always be that. And so I just didn't know if VR was actually ever going to take off. If it was going to be reality enough. And then at Kenny's bachelor party, instead of, you know, alcohol and strippers, we were playing with a guy's PlayStation 4 VR, and
yeah, we were.
We put that on, and I've said it a couple times when telling other people about it, but it's just blown me away in the sense that it's not even like it's not even expanded yet. It's very, very simple in what they're hoping to do with it, because all I did was experience something. It wasn't playing anything. It was just experiencing like a deep sea diving adventure. But in that, a few times I reached out with my hand to touch something, obviously couldn't. And then I took a step, felt a different, I went from carpet to wood floor in this house that I was playing, and thought that I was falling for just a moment. So like, if those feelings can happen, in my like rational, reasonable mind that's saying like, I'm in reality, this isn't going to work, all these things, then there might be something there that can be an enjoyable
thing.
And
from my understanding, PlayStation VR is the baseline right now. It's supposed to be the one that's the least realistic and the least immersive.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Just because hardware limitations of the PlayStation.
Yeah, of people who have like PC rigs and have it set up, like... there's some pretty crazy things that you can like experience on like a 4K scale. But yeah, that's just
figuring out the whole integration and how it works and when it works and how to make it not a gimmick and be good and get people to actually produce stuff for it that feels, you know, natural and takes advantage of the complete 360 space, but without feeling, I don't know, like it really is just play. It, to me, it's kind of like 3D movies. Like, sometimes it can be done really well, and when it is, mind-blowing. I don't think it will be the only thing that happens in gaming. I don't think it's going to kill off two-dimensional gaming. And I think it's got a lot of room to grow. It's got to get its legs. There's some tech stuff they still got to work out. You know, the price and accessibility, even just how to create content for it, that's the things people want. But once those hurdles are all done, I think it's like Ready Player One level status. I think there's people who are going to disappear into their headsets and just not even want to live real life anymore.
I'm all about it. I won't do it, but I'm all about it being an option for people. Let's talk about the NES Classic that came out this year. 30 built-in games from the Nintendo catalog, including like Castlevania, Donkey Kong, Double Dragon, Galaga, the Mario games, Super Mario games, Mega Man 2, the Zelda games, Final Fantasy. Like just tons of awesome games. None of us got the console, but...
that we know of, Christmas hasn't happened yet.
Hey, that's true, that's true. Well, maybe you were one of the very lucky ones to get it before it all sold out immediately.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I still think the same thing, and that's the whole having that many games is great. But to me, a console experience has to do with the hardware of the actual game, like collecting a cartridge and being able to feel the game. So it's kind of like I could just do this on my PC, you know? Like I could just emulate whatever game. So that's how I feel about it, but I do like that they did it because it lets a lot of people who don't have high-end PCs play classic games. And
no, I think it's super
that's
cool.
Partially why we like our podcast is because we like to revisit classic games.
Absolutely.
So I'm all for it.
It'd be hard for us to argue against it. Like we literally spend lots of our time investing in these kinds of games because they were important enough to us. And I'm with you. Nothing will beat the nostalgia of actually playing like on the original system. And when we're able to, I always get giddy and like point it out that it was one of those games that week that I was able to find or get or have. But it's super cool that there's an audience for it and that, you know, the generation that grew up with the NES now have, you know, mortgages and spouses, and they can afford to introduce their kids and families or just go back with a little nostalgia and play something that they haven't had access to. And I think that's super cool. It's fun that it's out there. And it's not just, though that one's the most well done, it's not just that one. There have been knockoffs and like retro game consoles and recreations and stuff like crazy lately. That's just sort of a big thing. We should take advantage of it and do like a podcast sort of about that topic, like retro games.
What I'm thinking. Nostalgia is still a powerful drug, and if all those people who bought these consoles right when they released listened to our podcast and supported us, I think we could go a lot further with what we're trying to do here, guys. So if you could just let all the guys know that got those NES classics, then just send them over to the New Game Plus podcast.
Absolutely.
On the other end of that spectrum, the Nintendo Switch has been announced.
has coming new out in 2017, console. Right?
Yes, early 2017.
I'm hopeful for it.
I'm not hopeful.
No?
Why?
At all?
Well,
one, I've never been a handheld gamer, so that's just me. But then secondly, I've seen some of the specs, and me and others are not too impressed. So we'll see if that ends up being what the specs are. And Nintendo, while I love them and they produce great content, always like to have their hands on their product and not have a lot of freedom with what they allow others to do with it. And so I'm just skeptical. So we'll see.
I love, though, that Nintendo is willing to do unique, novel things. I love that they're willing to try something that they think will make a fun gaming experience, even if it's not like the big popular thing, and to do something unique. And just the concept of the like portable but also hubs with your television approach of just like take your games with you, play them big, and then take it to go and play them for real there too is, I don't know, it just feels like Nintendo to me and it feels fun. Hopefully it means that we'll get some good games out of some of the classic Nintendo franchises and characters, because that's always fun to get to revisit some of those.
What you just said at the end, Kenny, is what I'm hoping to, because in my opinion, the Wii U was an excellent console. I think it's great. I still love it. But Nintendo kind of dropped the ball with coming out with some, taking advantage of the console and coming out with some really good games. Like, yes, there are amazing games. Mario Kart 8 is like one of the best games on the Wii U. And then there's some, but they could have made a Metroid title with the handheld, with the screen on the controller, and used that and made like the best Metroid comeback ever, but they didn't. So I'm hoping the NX will prove that. And we're going to get to see the new Zelda show off the console first. So I'm excited. I love Nintendo. I love the whole portable thing. I'm very concerned about battery life. And specs don't scare me, because specs are always like the boogie monster when stuff comes out and they're like, it's not as good as the Xbox One. I'm like,
right.
Well, okay, it's never... Nintendo's really never tried to combat that, and it still delivers. So
yeah, no, I understand. And comparing one console to another with in different years is a difficult thing to do as well.
Sure.
Like a lot of that's hard to do. But I was just listing that as one of the things that I know that people are questioning as we're going into this. I mean, we'll see. It's Nintendo. I don't think there's going to be a flop, but I am interested in how well it sells and how well the reviews are over the system, and how it actually functions, what the battery life is, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And we'll find out as we go into 2017. We are obviously coming to a conclusion of 2016. We barely have any more days. Depending on when you're listening to this, it might even be 2017. But for us, we are coming to the conclusion of the year, moving into another one. And just to wrap up this episode today, guys, what are some of the things that we've talked about, some of the things that we've discussed of wanting to present to our audience, to our viewers in 2017? What are some things, you know, that are on the drawing board, some conversations that we've had of some of our plans and some of our hopes of what to bring for them in regards to New Game
yeah.
Plus for 2017?
What the first thing that comes to mind is our production quality. So we're working very hard and very soon to bring some better quality to your ears. Going to get your Beats by Dre for Christmas, and we want to bring the best quality that we can to you, because you guys deserve it. You've been with us a long time, or you're new, you still deserve it. And so we're really excited about improving, you know, mic quality, even video quality in the future. Yeah.
So that for sure, audio quality, and we literally have, like, there is in the mail coming to me this week an upgraded microphone. We've got plans, as we said earlier, to get Kenny a new microphone at the start of this next year. We are really working to upgrade our quality. Hopefully you've seen some progression from the beginning of 2016 to now. And I have, because I, along with Nolan, have gone back and listened to a few of the episodes, and it's just been rough.
Very different.
Big thing that I am looking forward to is finding ways to expand our audience, not just because we don't love the audience that we have now. We've got a great, really loyal set of followers. We love that you guys listen and view and play along with us, and it's awesome. But we like what we do enough and invest enough time in it that we want people to be exposed to it. And so we're looking and talking about some possible ways of getting to people who wouldn't necessarily listen to this podcast as a podcast. So we're probably going to go back and put some of our content on YouTube, probably start posting some of it there. How that looks, what that means, how much, you know, video is integrated into that, or whether that's just something we simply make available as another approach for those of you who want to introduce one of your younger siblings who would never actually download a podcast, but will spend hours sitting on YouTube, hanging out, watching some people talk about something they're passionate about.
And along with that, you know, we are hoping to be able to provide some additional content that expands on what we do as a podcast.
Absolutely.
So as you know, their podcasts are generally audio, and that's what we are always going to first and foremost be, an audio podcast. But from there, we'd like to provide some additional content. And so we are even now doing test streaming on Twitch.
Even now?
So we, you're like, what? We are planning to, every Saturday morning when we typically record, to record it live on Twitch. So you can join us in the chat room, talk to us, hang out with us as we record. It will obviously be a raw episode. You'll hear all the mistakes. You'll hear Nolan's dog barking in the background. You'll at times hear Kenny's nose breathing, and that's just a part of it. But then we will take that, make it a VOD, keep it on Twitch, put it on YouTube as well at different times within the week. Our audio podcast will always be the cleanest product that we make, that we put out there. It will always be the first product of the week that we put out there. That's always going to be our primary focus. But we do want to, as we move into 2017, continue to improve what we have and then slowly build on top of that so that we can introduce other viewers or would-be viewers or will-be viewers to what we are doing as a show.
Something else I have been thinking about a lot lately is the bonus content that we have been discussing and already started some. So for our Patreon supporters, we have different levels of rewards, and some of those are secret episodes that we've mentioned even in this episode, and we've done a couple, and I really enjoy doing those. They're a little off topic. They kind of will vary on in what we talk about, but I, as a listener of podcasts, enjoy hearing from the people that do them when they're being real and they're kind of off topic. So I'm looking forward to doing some more of those episodes and even coming up with some more content to reward those of you that are supporting us, because we appreciate you guys so much. And moving into this next year, you're kind of what we're relying on. So yeah.
For me, 2017 has one major goal for the podcast, though. And that is to see Dustin step up his Segway game.
I knew it was going to be something trolly.
Kenny, all I'm saying is that I've had some of the best ones.
That's because you're the one who does it.
And some of the worst ones, and some of the ones in between.
That's probably fair. You always get us from something completely random to our video game. How well that transition goes
Segway
changes.
Does.
But you always get us there.
Lamborghini was kind of
bad. Lamborghini, bro.
Lamborghini was terrible.
I'm not going to lie, Dustin. I'm usually on board with your segues.
Yeah, no, that one, I don't know why we're even still talking about it.
I know, but now we always will talk about it. So, guys, thank you so much for your support in 2016. We can't express enough, especially a few of you. Some names are coming to mind. Sure, our producers. So, Bradley, Zion, guys, you are the two primarily that help make this happen, make this improvement and this expansion of what we're planning to do in 2017 possible. But there's other patrons as well. There's other people that just support us by listening.
Absolutely.
To us. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah,
yes.
Just downloading the podcast, telling somebody about it, giving us some of your time, because we talked about something you're interested in is what we really, really care about. So thanks. Gotta say as well, depending on when you're listening to this, hope you guys had a really great holiday season, a really Merry Christmas. This will probably be posted the morning after Christmas. Is that correct, Dustin? That's when we're planning to?
Yeah, you know, we'll do whatever we want.
Okay, that's
it.
Fair.
It'll be up the week of Christmas.
Yeah, it'll be up the week of Christmas sometime. So we hope you guys had a really great time with your friends and families celebrating the holidays. Hope that some good gaming got to be a part of that, because we know that's such a cool way to celebrate, and we like that we get to integrate that ourselves. And
And let us know what kind of gaming related gifts that you got.
Exactly.
This year.
We've recorded this beforehand, so we don't know what we've gotten. But hop on Twitter, send us an email, let us know what you got retro wise for Christmas, and we'll hit you up for what? Bomberman 64 next episode, right?
Absolutely. So hype.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for your love and support. You can always visit us online on social media, Twitter or Facebook at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us weekly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Music, any of the podcast providers. Make sure you subscribe so you're one of the first ones to get our weekly episodes. You can find us on patreon.com/NGP podcast and find out how to support us. Listen to some of that bonus content and watch even some of that bonus content we addressed as a part of this podcast. Join us next year as we continue to play dozens and dozens of retro games. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus. Merry Christmas!